Exodus chapter 19, verse 10.
And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. Before God fixes to come, he tells the people to get ready. Some say, before he shows up, get ready. Before Jesus showed up, John the Baptist went out preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. How many of you want God to show up in your situation? How many of you want God to show up? You want him to show up in that thing that you're believing him to do. You want him to show up in prayer life. See, we pray till God shows up. We worship until God shows up. We work until he shows up in the end. The king is coming. And there's one message we need to preach to everybody, whether they want to hear it or not, whether it's popular. We got to stick with the word, not with popular persuasion. Everybody just so quick to jump in some crowd. I'm not quick to jump in a crowd. I want to stick to Jesus. I want to stick to God. And I believe the Holy Ghost is saying these things to us right now. And he's saying to us, he said, listen, get ready. Look at somebody and tell them to get ready. The king is coming. In the Old Testament, before he would show up, they had to get ready. Even in the New Testament, before the king came, they had to get ready. He's ready to come again. And it's time for the church, somebody say the real church, to get ready. Everybody say sanctify. Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. But we're believing God to do a greater work. How many wants to see a greater work? There's a revival about to take place. Sandra talked to us about several months back, and she said the latter rain, the former and the latter rain together. That revival of the former and the latter rain together. God prophesied it again to us last night. Some say the former and the latter rain together. We can expect signs and wonders to start to happen again. I'm getting ready for it. Look at somebody and tell them, get ready for a move of God. He's going to move in his kind of church. He knows what he likes. He knows where he likes to play. He inhabits the praises of his people. And we can sing songs that don't mean it's praise. We can buy as many integrity books as we can, integrity worship books as we can, but that don't make it praise. You can have 165 banners flattened in the background. That'll make it praise. You can play it on KSBJ. That'll make it praise. Some say he inhabits the praises of his people. That means when his people praise him the way that he teaches us to praise him according to the word, he'll show up. Now, we know that God is everywhere, right? He is omnipresent. Someone said, well, God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. Yeah, he's omnipresent. But what this means is he will manifest himself in Holy Ghost sanctified praise. Yes, Lord. He'll show up. Oh, yes. The word of God confirms it. And I've seen it as a 10-year-old boy. Thank God. I thank God. You know, I thank God for things I can remember. I went to a church. They praised God so hard. Why did they praise God? Why did God put me there as a 10-year-old little boy? Couldn't even drive, but was traveling like 45 miles every Sunday. Amen. To go to church because God, there was something that God wanted me to experience. There was something that God wanted me to see. They didn't have children's church. Thank God for children's church, though. Amen. I sat about the second row back on the side and I'd watch the saints praise God. And I, as a 10-year-old little boy, I'd see them praise God so hard till a cloud would form in the place. I've seen the Shekinah glory of God. That's how I started. I'm not trying to get nowhere, amen. That's how I started out in this thing. I saw people praise God so much. The Holy Ghost would fall, then all of a sudden, someone said, anybody could move around and dance. But I've seen the Holy Ghost dance. I know it's supernatural. I know it's supernatural. I saw the whole, you could hear a pin drop, then all of a second, 65 people just jump up out of nowhere, instantaneously just start dancing under the power of the Holy Ghost, and you could see it just moving like a wave throughout the whole building. Hallelujah. Then God would show up. I saw him praise God so hard that people would crawl down to the sinners, would crawl down the center aisle to get saved. You know what? You didn't play with it either. Amen? You know why we talk these things? Because as we talk these things, it forms a picture in your mind, picture in your spirit. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. Amen? You'll be grabbing a hold of it and experience it in no time at all. And Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. And Joshua said unto the people, somebody say Joshua. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Poke somebody real hard in the ribs. Amen. And tell them, amen. Sanctify yourself. Tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. There is something about the sanctifying power of the Holy Ghost. There are some things we've missed out on. You know, charisma and Pentecost got popular throughout the world. And when it became popular, we created things, compromises all over the place. Say, hey, that's not necessary anymore. But we got to know from where we've come. Amen?
Amen.
I have a book of nothing but sermons from Azusa Street. Word for word sermons from Azusa Street. You could read them and find out the kick that they were on. And you know what kick they were on? Somebody say holiness and sanctification. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Joel chapter 2, verse 15. Somebody say Pentecost. You know that Joel prophesied Pentecost? The prophet Joel prophesied it? Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. God wants to get us ready for a move. What is sanctification? When we start to talk about sanctification, we need to be sanctified. Well, were we saved? Yes. Were we washed whiter than snow? Absolutely. Is there anything else after that? No, but how do you stay? How do you stay whiter than snow? How do you stay pure? How do you stay fresh? How do you keep yourself in that first love that God gave you? You know what people think? Well, is it possible to fall away? That's a lie from the pit of hell. I started running this race a long time ago, and we don't have enough fingers and toes in this building to find the people that fell away. Well, they never really started. I don't believe that to be so at all. I knew some people that were on fire for God, running for God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all of their mind. I mean, they had the Holy Ghost. Once saved, always saved. That's why I don't get blown away. We think that everybody's going to start running this race, going to finish this race. We're out of our mind. When somebody stops running the Nation's Church, they expect me to get surprised? No, I got saved in 1975. This thing is all about endurance. We got to be faithful to the end. You got to make up your mind. When you start walking for Jesus, you're going to walk till he comes. You know, you don't grow weary. You don't grow tired. You're going to hold out strong until the end. Sanctification is a safety place. Amen. Are we sanctified to be saved? No. Are we sanctified to stay saved? Yes. Why? Because when you do something wrong, God's going to hit you over the back of your head with a lead pipe and say, oh, you go right back to hell where you came from. No, that's not what it's all about. We need to teach this message to the body of Christ because, you know, people are falling away all around about us. We see too many people start and not finish. Too many people give up, and it's become acceptable. You know, I can back out. I can just forget God for 8 months, 6 months. You know, I'm in the Holy Ghost this week, out of the Holy Ghost next week, and everything's okay. That's not the way that God designed this thing to be. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood. Somebody say, sanctified by the blood. Say it one more time. I'm sanctified by the blood. Say it one more time. I'm sanctified by the blood. He suffered without the gate. Notice that when the death angel was sent out in Egypt, you know, when God was ready to set the people free, and he sent out that death angel, the firstborn would just die. Anybody that wasn't under the blood, they told him, hey, listen, I want you to put the blood over your house. See, many people don't have the blood over their house. You don't think we just get saved, you know, and Jesus, and we just confess it? You know what the blood is? The blood is our sanctification, people. See, the blood is just not what you quote out of your mouth. The blood is the way you live. See, if you don't apply that blood, the blood washes us whiter than snow. He purges so that we, you know, he purged us from sin, that you can say no to the devil. Before Jesus came, we didn't have any ability to say no to the devil. We were prone to sin, prone to every evil way. Whatever came, you had to say, well, I just couldn't help myself. When you're saved, there's no such thing anymore as I can't help myself, because Jesus came that you might have some help. That blood sets us free. And the only way that you're going to be able to walk in sanctification and in holiness and in purity is acknowledging the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood separates us. It's a covenant. When they cut a covenant, they cut it with a blood covenant, and it separated. Somebody say it parted some stuff. See, there are some certain people that they haven't allowed their salvation, the blood of Jesus, separate them from anything. He died that we might be separated from hell. He died that we might be separated from sin. We got to realize that we've been saved from something. Amen to something. See, people wonder why their salvation is not working for them. Salvation is that we might be whole. Amen. That we might have the peace of God, the prosperity of God, that we might have healing in our body, that we might have deliverance from sin. Amen. That we might have deliverance from demonic forces. We see so many saints today, you know, one week they're full of the devil, the next minute they're full of God. You know, instead of coming in and singing about what Jesus did all week long, all you hear about what the devil made me do. Oh, the devil beat me up all night long last night. It was a rough night. You know, that's all we hear. They come in with a test, you know, instead of coming in with a testimony, we come magnifying how big the devil is. Well, yeah, it'll be that way if you're living outside of the blood. Yeah, you'll be sick. Yeah, you'll be depressed. Yeah, you'll want to give up. Yeah, no, you won't have any kind of victory when you refuse to live under the blood of sanctification. His blood sanctifies us. It separates us. Somebody say death. Yeah. Call us to be dead to the things of the world. You're dead to that stuff. You're separated from sin. Don't be entangled and caught up again to the yoke of slavery and bondage. He wants you to be whole. Now right here in John chapter 17, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Certain people always want to make excuses. We want to compromise what Bible scriptures we want to believe, what scriptures we don't want to believe, how we want to walk, what friends we want to keep. We're supposed to be a witness to the world, not a partner with it. You don't have any fellowship with those deeds of darkness and workers of darkness. You don't have any business with it whatsoever other than tell them Jesus loves you and let your light shine. That is the truth, and people wonder why they don't have a victorious life. They expect to come out here and sing and shout with Jesus all Sunday morning, hang with the devil Friday night, Saturday night, and wonder why they don't have any victory in their life. He said, come out from among them. There's some things you need to cut off. The things you don't cut off is what pulls you back. God saved it in Shreveport. I loved it. She must have really got saved because she went to her friends and told them she got saved. They knew it was revival in Shreveport. All of her friends that weren't saved started crying. Why did they start crying? Because they knew it was over. Today, you say you're saved, it don't mean nothing at all. It just means they got to enjoy KSBJ. They got to endure that when they ride in your car sometime on a good day. You're saved. You're not the same thing. This world is not your home. There should be a difference about you, a difference about me in the way that we live, the way that we conduct ourselves. We're not going to get off on all these rules and regulations. You just follow the Holy Ghost, and that's what you have to do. Amen. But many times the Holy Ghost tells you, come out of that mess. Leave that alone. Don't touch that thing. You won't have the victory. If people don't want to walk with God, don't walk with them. People don't want to walk with Jesus. Don't walk with them. And if I'm going to talk, see, I know people out there. See, I got people out there in the world. I love these people, and I tell them about Jesus. I'm a witness to them. They ain't my chum-chums. We don't have nothing in common. And I don't need to go to hell to pull somebody to heaven. Jesus already did it. We just need to cross over. No, he already crossed over. Amen? We just need to shine. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So if you're not willing to take the word of God as truth in your life above everything, well, everybody else is doing it, you're going to be crazy. Church, Sunday morning church, Sunday night church, Wednesday night church, Friday night church. How much word do you need? How much word do you need? Sanctify you enough to tell amen. You separate yourself from stuff. Renew your mind. That's what it's all about. Until you're willing to renew your mind, you're going to be in some rough shape. People say, well, you just off to get people to go crazy, go nuts. No, we're out to brainwash you with the word of God, get you turned on to Jesus, let you realize where you're going, let you start walking in it. We said it straight out. What about my friends? Bye. You get some new brothers and sisters in Christ. Get your friends saved. Tell them about Jesus. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify, somebody say sanctify it, and cleanse it with the washing of the water, with washing of water by the word. See, when you hear a word, it should cut some stuff off from you. You come to church, say, amen. Well, that separated me from something. Amen. Word of God is quick, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to divide. Amen. To separate. Every time you come into church, every time you get into a wave of God, you should come out different. Amen. You should come a little bit farther from the world, a little bit closer to heaven. Every service you go into, you should break off a little bit more from the world. Somebody say, you're really losing it now. That's what we hope. Every step I took with God, it found me taking a step from my old life. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives on the inside of me. God's got a bigger future for you. You're not able to walk into God's future until you're able to leave your past. He can sanctify you from that past, separate you from it, if you let him. You're not going to be able to stay saved until you stay sanctified. Amen? Until you separate yourself. Till you let sister lead you, you know, sister leading you go. You're not going to run for the prize when you're running with dogs. Birds of a feather flock together. You got to find out what you want from God and go for it with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. And God wants to cleanse you with the washing of the word, the water of the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. We're going to get through this so we can get to the next level because it's going to help somebody. Yeah, I'm going to teach it. When you find people that live in just like the world and somehow they feel that it's okay and feel that they're safe. We have been saved, we are being saved, and we shall be saved. Saved just means safe. You can tell a lot of people aren't safe by what they hang with, what they surround themselves around. Church is important. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22 through 24. Abstain from all appearance of evil, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. You got to preserve yourself in the blood of Jesus. You got to preserve yourself. See, there are a lot of people that shrivel up because they haven't preserved themselves. Your environment is what preserves you. You can preserve yourself in prayer. You can preserve yourself in positive relationship. You know, you can preserve yourself in the Word of God. Or you just put yourself out there in the world and let everything dry up, shrivel up, and corrode. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Somebody say, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. How do we sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. Isn't he already sanctified? Isn't that a strange scripture? But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. See, there are a lot of people that have not sanctified the Lord God in their hearts. That's why they go around doing stupid stuff and blaming it on God. My spirit's leading me to do this. That seems all right to me. One guy, supposed to be a prophet, he and his wife had some problems, so they split up for a while. And then all of a sudden, you know, he was prophesying to everybody. And then all of a sudden, he was praying about his circumstance or situation, blamed this on God. He said, well, the Lord told me if I run into problems and if I have to go out and find somebody temporarily to help me with my problems, you know what I'm talking about. You know, children in here. God said, it's okay. He understands. The Lord will understand. There are a lot of people that do stupid stuff that's not in the Word. Just as wrong. If God tells you to do something, it's going to be in line with the Word of God. Or it's a lie from the pit of hell. Don't blame it on Jesus. And people do that all the time. God understands. He understands you're wrong. We need to learn to sanctify God in our hearts. Because we've developed, you know, inside our heart, you know, we think that everything that goes on, well, our heart's made in the image of Jesus and all, and you know, just like God, you know, we get these old spirits that say, well, it just came out of my spirit. I just led that way. The Holy Ghost made me call that one up and just wear them out. Holy Ghost told me to stay out of church. Holy Ghost told me to go off by myself and just sit there. Just take a time for yourself. It ain't in line with the Word of God. Nowhere. Draw yourself away. Just pull yourself apart for a while. And come over here by yourself. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Amen. God's not going to contradict himself. So say, learn sanctification in your heart. Sanctify the Lord in your heart. Learn to listen to God. And stop thinking that every little thing you think up in your head is God. Or that God is in every little wise little scheme and plan. Amen? We got to learn to put sovereignty and sanctity back in our relationship with God and start walking holy again. Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. Why am I teaching on sanctification? Because we're ready to go over to greater works. We're ready to go over to greater works. It's just an intro. We're ready to go over to greater works. Somebody say, sanctify yourselves, for the Lord will work wonders among you tomorrow. That's what he told John. He said, listen, sanctify yourself for tomorrow. The Lord will work wonders among you tomorrow. The devil will work a wonder on anybody, amen, but God works wonders in sanctified people. It says, give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample it under their feet and turn again and rend you. Where's a dog? What did they call dogs back in those times, people? People that had no covenant. God's people were separated, supposedly separated unto him. There's some holy, consecrated things that God wants to give you. There's some things that God wants you to accomplish. He's called his people to accomplish these things. The wave of the Spirit, the move of God. Heaven. Those things are meant to be for his people. Holy. Everything that God has is holy. Everything that God has is holy. When he had his temple, all the utensils were holy and set apart and consecrated. And you're supposed to be his temple and not holy. And just like everything else, God wants to give us greater gifts, greater things he wants to do among us. The Holy Ghost. Somebody say the Holy Spirit. I like that right there. Everybody say the Holy. Set apart, consecrated spirit. He gives us the Holy Spirit, that sanctifying spirit. When we follow that Holy Spirit, that consecrated spirit, when we let the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of God lead us and guide us and direct us and tell us which way to go, you know what will happen? Holiness. It's not about rules and regulations in the law. It's following the Holy Ghost. That's what it's all about. That's how you fulfill the law. You just listen to the Holy Ghost and fulfill the things that the Spirit's telling you to do. Amen? Everybody say, Holy Spirit. I think he took me back to that scripture I like so much in Jude. Building yourselves up in the most holy faith. When we pray in the Holy Ghost, it should build us up in our holy, consecrated, set apart faith. Faith just doesn't give you a car. Faith just doesn't give you a house. Even though it has the ability to do that, amen? Doesn't just put diamonds on your fingers and shoes on your feet. Faith takes us closer to God. We can build ourselves up in holiness, praying in the Holy Ghost. Every time we get closer to God, we become more like Him. Amen. Every step closer. But we're saying, hey, people, it could be better. There is something about the sanctifying power of the Holy Ghost. Don't let people lie to you. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all and whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even until the end of the world. From Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How do you get transformed? How do you get transformed? God wants us to transform ourselves into something else. And notice he's writing this to believers here. He's writing this to believers. And people think, when I got saved, I just got transformed right then and there. Yeah, your spirit was transformed. Your spirit was made anew. But your mind can totally screwed up. It's not God's will that believers have screwed up heads. You have the responsibility, amen, to renew your own mind with the Word of God. And not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you would be able to walk in sanctity and in sanctification. Until your mind is renewed with the washing of the water of the Word, I'm talking about God's Word, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. How many of you want to do God's will with your life? How many of you want to do God's will? You got to have that Word start to wash you. Word of God, wash you, wash you. Renew that mind that you can find the will of God in anything. God wants us holy as He is holy. God's got to be able to lead His people, and just being in a crowd is not salvation. He didn't just send an army, you know, a bunch of armies with some flags, say, follow those people and you'll be saved. He didn't say that. You got to learn to follow the Holy Ghost, the Spirit for yourself. God wants to do that within you. Look at somebody and say, I'm saved. And God is real and He wants to use you. There are a lot of things you're set free from and delivered from. You need to walk in it. Amen. Some say, this week, I'm going to cut some stuff off. Go all the way with God. And don't be afraid of the sanctifying power of God. Stay seated. We're about to let you go. Stay standing. Amen. Leave it alone. God can fit your whole life in His plan. Don't be afraid to go for God with everything you've got. You'll be blessed. Let's pray for you. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for people that have made up in their mind, Father God, to follow you. Lord, sanctify us with your Word. With your Word, God, set us apart and separate us, Father God. Right now, in the name of Jesus, Father God, help your people to love and to walk together in unity, Father God, into victorious things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.